unity. Do we have unity in our families, in our parish, in our country? What about unity in the faith? Is the church unified? Perhaps it is worth asking what unity means in the first place. And in a sense, we could say that these questions run throughout all of human history. Trade, politics, warfare. These and more are responses to the question of unity, to the question of how we human beings will go about existing in the same world. And sometimes we can simply avoid the issue by avoiding the same space. Two points on a graph, two people in the world, as long as they're in different places, there's nothing to worry about. But then we have to use the same space sometimes. But there's another dimension at our service. There is time. We can utilize the same space and resources if we just time it to avoid each other. To sidestep the question of being unified, we can simply preserve our isolation, maintain our own idea of freedom. But for the wise, time and space are not means of evading other people, but tools for a more perfect intersection. Just as an architect can take dots and lines on a graph to produce great beauty, so the great architects of our culture, our society, can help us to live and move in this world in harmony with beauty. That harmony, that coordination between people in the same time and space, that is something we could call unity. And the dynamics of time and space and people moving through them are something that we grasp intuitively. But what we often fail to understand is that there is yet another dimension to our interactions. Because unlike dots and lines on a graph, our lives intersect with one another, not only in time and space, but also in the realm of the personal. Consider two people in the same room at the same time. Perhaps they want to make a trade or discuss something important. But what if they do not speak the same language? This intersection of humanity, this interaction is made difficult. And if the language barrier is serious enough, those two people may as well be 1,000 miles and 100 years apart. To find unity in humanity, we have not only to account for time and space, but the realm of the personal, which includes language, emotion, attitudes, and everything to do with our spirituality. And actually, it would be more accurate to call this extra dimension the spiritual dimension. Because, in fact, all spiritual realities are ultimately personal realities. There is no such thing as an impersonal spiritual realm like the Force from Star Wars. There is no such thing as detached spiritual energies that we can harvest and utilize. Everything spiritual is either a person or the quality of a person. Angels, demons, God. Spiritual realities, personal realities. There is grace, which is a spiritual reality, but grace does not exist by itself, free-floating. It is something that only exists in and with a person. And that is why perfect unity among human beings is ultimately a spiritual unity. Because all human beings are persons, composed of both the physical and the spiritual. And you can look throughout history and you will find that this rings true. Every human endeavor to create harmony and unity among mankind fails eventually. Every empire, every country, and even every family, sooner or later, there are enough people who disagree on the spiritual truth, on the very definition of what is good. So it becomes impossible to work together to accomplish good. Last night, the church heard from the book of Genesis, the Tower of Babel. Humanity, full of itself, arrogant and proud, thinks that goodness can be found in making themselves famous and getting attention. And so humanity works together for a while, but they have lost sight of the true spiritual good of God Himself. And so this tower will not bring them eternal life. And the only unity that humanity would find in Babel would be a unity of eternal death. So God intervenes and scatters their languages. This confusion, this Babel, becomes a sign, a reminder to all of humanity how a false and man-made unity will go nowhere. But we have come upon Pentecost. As the Acts of the Apostles tell us, the disciples receive the Holy Spirit and completely clear the hurdle of language given at Babel. All understand in their native language. And this message should be clear to us. The power of mankind, the efforts of human beings to reach unity and greatness are doomed to fail. Only by the power of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, can a lasting unity be reached. And think about it. Over 2,000 years, across every country, every language, the Christian faith has created a unity unimaginable for any worldly empire. This unity extends even beyond death, as we see in the communion of saints, where we still do interact with those who have gone before us, and we are unified with them. So do we have unity in our families, our parishes, in our country, across the world? The answer to that question comes from the answer to this question. Does your family, your parish, your country respond to the Holy Spirit? Is it guided by the transcendent love of God or by some other motive? That kind of personal and spiritual unity extends beyond mere physical togetherness. But sadly, this means that there is nothing we can do if a person chooses to reject the Holy Spirit. A family member, a parishioner, a fellow citizen, their unity with us will remain imperfect as long as they have not accepted the great unifier, the Holy Spirit. And if you stop to consider how few people are serious about the guidance of the Holy Spirit, it will leave you with a rather grim outlook. But a grim outlook is not the end. It is a call to humility, a call to action. How? How do we improve real unity with family, friends, and even within the visible church? Prayer, honesty, and courageous faith. So pray often for guidance. Pray for others to be open to the Holy Spirit. And don't just stick to a few memorized prayers. These are good and beautiful and necessary. But dig deeper into the world of Christian meditation and contemplation. Learn how to spend time listening to the Holy Spirit, especially in silence in this noisy world. Honesty. It is easy to pretend we are unified, to avoid a conflict by being ambiguous, by dodging certain subjects. But when Peter and the apostles receive the Holy Spirit, he does not mince words. He does not flatter his audience. In fact, he stands in front of the Jews and outright accuses them of killing Jesus, because that is the truth. And if we want real unity, the kind of spiritual and personal unity that only comes from God, we must be honest about the differences we have with one another. Honest about our sins and our own shortcomings. We must be honest about what it will take to do the right thing, even when it's very difficult. And courageous faith. Now, faith takes many forms, but in this case, I mean faith in the work of the Holy Spirit. If you pray regularly, if you are sincere in your desire to be united with others, you have no reason to fear evangelization. Often enough, people misunderstand what's being said. They miss our message. We are afraid that we don't know what to say or what to do. That is the natural limitation of human language and interaction. But the Holy Spirit can bridge that gap, just as it bridges the gap between languages in the Acts of the Apostles. If you speak with confidence, if you speak with humility and with faith, you can trust that the Spirit of God will help the right people to hear and understand the right thing. So are we united? Are we faithful to the Holy Spirit? Are we faithful to His guidance in our prayer life? To His guidance in the church, in her magisterium, her teaching, her shepherding and pastoral ministry? Pray. Be honest. Have faith. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill the hearts of your faithful. Kindle in them the fire of your love. Lord, send forth your Spirit and renew the face of the earth.